Oh, my hat's off to the state of Colorado and the city of Denver and all the surrounding cities that move forward to act on the legislation to allow it to happen. And the people of Colorado voted this in. They want cannabis legalized, and they want access to it also. It's not just a vote in a voting booth. It's the actual program that comes out of it. Colorado has been very progressive and worked very hard. Did they get everything right the first time? No, but they're working really hard to get it right. And the program overall is functional, and people have access to cannabis if they choose to. And if they never want to come in the stores, they have that choice also. But it is a regulated, workable environment. There's been this mantra for a long time of tax it and legalize it. And that's exactly what Colorado embraced. And their program reflects that. The state is making revenue off of it. The city is making revenue. The businesses are still up and running. You're not seeing cannabis businesses go under. And so it's been a lot. It really has been a lot to digest, but it's come off very well.
In terms of the revenue, you mentioned there, the money that is coming in, mm-hmm. and the money that's going out, whether it's in taxation, one of the major barriers has been the lack of access to a legitimate banking. I mean, what has that created? I mean, what does that mean for you day to day when you're getting money into a business? Are you just dealing in a completely cash economy?
There is a point where you can run a small business. You and I could start a lawn mowing business and probably run it all in cash without too much of a hassle. But nearing the end of this year, we'll have over 100 employees. You're trying to do payroll in cash. We offer 401ks. We offer health insurance, vision insurance, dental insurance, maternity and paternity leaves. We fund our health insurance program in compliance with the Affordable Health Care Act today, even though it's not until next January that we're on the hook for that. Even trying to pay an Excel bill in cash is a nightmare. You get to a certain point where it's almost impossible to run a business in cash. In addition to that, you're not allowed to accept debit cards and credit cards because those have to directly transfer into a bank account. All of your federal taxes have to be sent through a wire, which is not possible without a bank account. Just down to bookkeeping, you need a bank account to reconcile your books at the end of the month and at the end of the week. And so, it's an enormous hassle. Currently, we do have an open relationship with a bank. They know exactly what we are. We do daily deposits. We accept debit cards at the stores again. It seems funny to be excited about a checking account, but I couldn't be happier to have a checking account. We really need one.
So you don't have boxes of $100 bills in shoeboxes under your bed?
No, well, what we started doing was purchasing the buildings that we were living in, because our other choice was to start burying money out back, and we thought a better investment would be to buy the real estate that we're in. And so we currently own 7 of the 10 buildings that we occupy in Denver.
So what do you think, from a business perspective, your very specific perspective, working within the marijuana industry, what are the next steps that need to happen, not just around banking, but in other regulatory aspects to move this forward, this industry forward?
What a fantastic question. I really feel like the banking thing is not completely solved, because every company does not have a bank account yet. That is one of the remaining dominoes to fall, but it is working out, and it is possible to get a bank account in Colorado for a cannabis company now. The real challenge facing us, and maybe the last thing that needs to happen for us to be treated like any other business in the country, is legislation that was passed in the early 80s by Congress called 280E, and it was in reaction to Colombian drug dealers moving cocaine around the country and claiming business expenses, and so it outlawed that. In 2007, 2008, the federal government, the IRS, started to apply that same thinking of 280E to cannabis dispensaries in California, and it quickly moved out to Colorado. So things we're not allowed to currently deduct in our taxes are all costs associated with advertising cannot be deducted. Employees' payroll who deal directly with the transaction of selling cannabis cannot be deducted. Square footage of stores where cannabis sales happen can't be deducted. So
that's a huge part of your business.
Oh, it's enormous. It's enormous. And any business owner will tell you that taxes are already difficult. And then we're not allowed to deduct very regular business taxes that every other business would. And so we literally attach a cover sheet to our federal taxes when we send them in, because any accountant who looked at my taxes would go, what are these guys doing? Like, they wouldn't even understand what the allocations were and why we were not taking really standard deductions. So we just say, we're a cannabis company for that reason. We're complying with 280E, and here's our breakdown. And so we're really open about it. I'm not sure that's great advice for your listeners, because we're totally getting audited by the IRS right now. But
you are? Really?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But there's no elephant in the room. We're not hiding anything. We pay all of our taxes, and we pay a lot of taxes.
So that's something that needs to happen at a federal level. Anything absolutely. That the state can do?
The state of Colorado already repealed their version of 280E. So our state taxes allow us to take all of those deductions.
What are some of the misconceptions people either outside the country have, even just within the US, outside of Colorado, and maybe even ongoing misconceptions around marijuana that still persist here in the state?
Sure. I think one of the biggest misconceptions was the same argument that was made against Amendment 64, that the sky is going to fall, that children are going to stop going to school, parents are going to stop going to work, everyone's going to lay around doing bong hits all day long. I think that still is the perception outside of Colorado, that's what's going on, and Colorado's legalized it and everyone's okay with it. And it couldn't be further from the truth. The society still functions in Colorado. People still go to work. Children go to school. You just have access to cannabis if you choose to go to the store and purchase it. I also think the other misconception is that it's like a license to print money. And it is very much like any other business. It takes years of hard work and long hours and dedication and terrifying roller coaster rides in the business world to turn it into a successful business. Just by having a license does not mean that you're given a golden ticket. We've worked very, very hard to build this business over a number of years, and it's weekends and it's late nights and it's time away from our families. But we've put that time in, and now cannabis is legalized, and we find ourselves the pioneers on the front of the blazing this new trail, which is really exciting. It's been a pretty amazing ride.
And what about misconceptions about the consumers of cannabis? I mean, who's your average customer?
Oh, I think that's a great point. Also, our average customer is a 41-year-old white male, and followed very closely by a 38-year-old white female. It's like walking into a liquor store and saying, Who's your demographic? Who's your target audience? We're the same. We're available for anyone who's 21 and above to purchase cannabis. And so I think our oldest customer was 96 years old. Certainly we do have 21-year-olds. Occasionally someone walks in with a skateboard, but that's not the typical customer. Most of them are professional business people, and a lot of professional athletes as well. We see a lot of people out of the music industry too. As a matter of fact, in the new store that we just remodeled, we put in a VIP entrance for people that would like to come in through the back door and not necessarily be seen by everyone in the waiting room, because there really are a lot of people who are interested in using cannabis that don't necessarily want everyone to know about it. But that stigma of young punk kids who use cannabis is just not the reality on the ground at all.